Listen to Raheemi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Yeah, I see most stuff. I mean, things are inevitably sent to me, especially when it's like connected to the Giants. Like, people here obviously get excited about things like that. It's hard to explain to people that things can both be like, yes, that's not false reporting, but that also doesn't really mean anything. It's like, it's hard to navigate that space, I think. But yeah, I see stuff.
That's Nico Horner. As you know, he's a regular on our afternoon show, Spiegel and Holmes. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And the breaking news that derailed us is courtesy of Jeff Passan. San Francisco Giants are aggressively pursuing a second baseman and have been engaged with Chicago on Nico Horner and St. Louis on Brendan Donovan, sources tell ESPN. This was the fear. This was the fear when they announced the Alex Bregman signing Saturday night during that Bears game. More Bears talk in our next segment, by the way, that somebody had to go, because unfortunately this is how we've been conditioned. And all of us, I think, were saying, well, you, I know you and I were, Marshall, that, okay, if that's the case, if you're really actually trying to improve your offense as a whole on the team and trying to replace Kyle Tucker's offense, which is no easy task, I sure as hell hope that you're not going to trade the 300 hitter. Nico Horner will be in his last year of his contract. He's set to make $11.666667 million this season. Matt Shaw, for example, has multiple years of control coming up as a rookie last season. Nico Horner finished second in batting average to Trey Turner, 304 in the National League. Nico was 297 for the season. Arguably his best year. So there's two schools of thought here. Do you keep Nico Horner to add to the Cubs offense as a whole? Or do you try to trade with what could be, in Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins' minds, trading high? It is quite the conundrum, and one that I think we all kind of knew was coming just based on how this team operates.
I think other teams are circling the Cubs now, like vultures, saying, we see your situation with your salary and how you're dangerously close to having to pay the luxury tax. Let us take that problem off your hands by taking a guy making $12 million off of your team. And Nico Horner will gladly replenish you with young talent that is salary controlled for the next, you know, 5+ years. And I think the issue is, back to what we were just talking about, when we're talking about all the other trades that are made that seem crazy maybe at the time, Grody didn't want Charles Oakley gone from the Bulls, but you had a Michael Jordan and a Scottie Pippen. My point was this. It's very simple. According to Baseball Reference, he had the 8th highest WAR in baseball last year at 6.2. And if you want to go with Fangraphs, his baseball WAR was still at, what, 4.8? Which is still 27th and second only to Pete Crow Armstrong on the Cubs. He is an essential part of why they were able to win as many games they did last year and go back to the playoffs.
He's a terrific player. There's no doubt about it. But I'll go back to two words Layla just said. Trading high. It's a scary thing to do. It's a gutsy thing to do. And like I gave a couple of examples of times where I was thinking about, I've given all these like old examples. Herschel Walker back in the day, like the shocker. So all
that
I'm saying,
that was a deal they couldn't refuse.
That was a deal they couldn't refuse. There's no doubt about it. So all I am saying is I agree with everything you just said. And yes, Nico Horner is a friend of the station. And even if he left, I'd like to think Nico Horner would still be a friend of the Score. Like all that stuff. I've gotten to be. We did a remote with the man. So I love Nico Horner in every way, shape, or form. But let's listen to what the Cubs might get back. Let's think about how it could fortify the team, not just for 1 or 2 years, but into the future as well.
2032.
It's not out of, I know that, like, you went through all the numbers. It's not crazy to think that you could get a better, I know that's crazy, that you could get a better player in the future for somebody like Nico Horner while not hurting your team right now.
I get it, but at the same time, they were able to trade the farm and a guy who ended up making the All-Star team in Isaac Paredes to get 1 year of Kyle Tucker. So now you don't want to pay for 1 year of your own homegrown offense, where again, he's producing and lengthening the lineup, defensively had a career year, offensively had a career year. It contradicts even that move by itself.
Don't you think the Cubs are...
Why can't you have both? Why is it so hard to have both?
I'm all about the greed portion. I've said that greed is good.
It's not even greed. It's sensible.
That's true. Like if you could keep
greed is the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. This is sensible.
But here's market greed.
But here's the thing. We don't know what the Cubs are thinking. They may just be sitting back. Let's listen to all these offers. And if somebody wants to do something crazy and give us their top prospect and a couple major leaguers and a really good bullpen arm or something like that, you have to listen. I think that's all I'm saying. You have to listen to these possibilities. Would it be crazy to think that Nico Hoerner would be back? No. In fact, I still think he probably will be back with the Cubs next year. But you're crazy if you don't listen to what other teams want to give you for this player.
Mark, you're absolutely right. You're crazy if you don't listen. That's a Marshall Harris principle. Like, that's how I live my life. I have to have my ears open and be willing to hear what crazy things someone might offer me for whatever.
I don't listen and love having my head in the sand.
But at the same time, I think the point Layla and I agree on here is that you just set yourself up to make a run in 2026. I would not like a deal that took away from your ability to make as strong a run in 2026 as you could do right now. And I think trading Nico Hoerner likely takes away from your ability to make a run before a work stoppage in which we don't even know what baseball is going to look like the next time they play the field after this season.
Which is why they might want to be inspired to trade. I understand that. And you're right, Mark. You have to listen to everything. Like, one of the biggest lessons I learned was when the Cardinals data got leaked and the Astros data got leaked because of that scandal, was how many trades that like sounded like sports talk radio were out there. It was like, hey, can we get Giancarlo Stanton? And they're like, yeah, for Nolan Ryan. I mean, obviously that's not what happened, but you know, it was that kind of concept. Like that's what they do.
Yeah.
So you sure as hell bet we're going to do it. But at the same time, the message that you're sending to not just your fans, but the team, when it's somebody who is one of yours,
right,
who came up with you.
Sure. No doubt.
That is a big part of this as well. How much do second contracts mean to the team when mm-hmm. they see a guy come up through the farm system and it's somebody like Nico?
Right, which is why I don't think they would do it unless they felt like they were getting something legitimate. Like, I don't think the Cubs, Jed Hoyer is not sitting there saying, I want to get rid of Nico. He knows exactly how valuable he is. The other part of this, too, is the Matt Shaw part of this.
Who?
Mini PCA. Remember, there was a period of time where I was calling him the real PCA.
The former starting third baseman for the Cubs?
Yes. Yes, the former starting third baseman for the Cubs.
Real
hey,
PCA.
Who's to say that he doesn't make the kind of jump that, say, PCA made last year? The improbable things that can occur. Michael Bush, the development that he's had. What Carson Kelly did last year for the Cubs. It's not inconceivable that Matt Shaw, first round pick, right? Matt Shaw?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not inconceivable that you have a really good prospect or product in Matt Shaw. We don't know yet, but there is evidence to suggest the Cubs are pretty good at developing young players in this particular era.
Well, since we're here, let's go to Sahada Sharma's article in The Athletic. And the headline says, Cubs are contenders again. They can't do something silly like trade Nico Hoerner. In this story, you know, he talks about that very possibility. Here's what makes this a little more interesting for the Cubs, though, Mark, to your point, actually, is the emotional hometown guy, San Francisco situation going on with the Giants. Nico went to Stanford. He's from the Bay Area. And I wonder how much that matters to a guy like Buster Posey, if that does mean that he would be willing to give up more for that for that possibility.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
And I know that typically that shouldn't matter. But when there's an emotional buy, does it up the price?
Yeah. I think Nico would like to be, honestly, like he's from there. I think he'd rather stay here. I don't think he wants to go home.
I think he may not want to go home, but if the options are Chicago and you have to pick another city, it's hard for me to believe San Francisco wouldn't be the next city on his list.
I agree with that, but I'm sold on Nico loving Cubsness. Like
he's been very open.
He is a big market brain too. You know what I mean? Like he understands the mentality. We played that cut last week about him understanding what life is like in the Chicago fishbowl. He definitely embraces big marketness. Another reason why you want him on this team.
What's going to be great is how this is going to transpire between now and Friday and through the weekend, because, you know, that whole convention thing.
Y'all better chant. Yeah. We got to come up with some sort of chant like, don't trade Nico.
Will Nico be at the Bears game? That would be leverage, man.
Nico's definitely going to be at the Bears game.
I'm Nico Harder. You don't want to lose me, do you?
I know a way to find out. So that's the latest from Jeff Passan. I feel like we're going to be living in this stupid limbo for a while. But that's what happens when you get somebody like Alex Bregman. Who's gonna fit where and how? And unfortunately, that's part of the discussion. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We get back to Bears talk next. Our producers are Ray Diaz. Tyler Buterbaugh is helping us out today. We also have Brandon Fryer assisting as well. You can call us and text us. 312-644-6767 is our number. You join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hello to our mob. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Additionally, we're on YouTube. 670 The Score is our address on YouTube, and we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's get back to more of the Bears discussion, because this is our bonus day. It is a bonus, I'd say, football Monday, just on a Tuesday, if you're into that type of thing.
I'm into it.
Bears.
So let's examine not only Caleb Williams' growth this season, and really, I think, an exponential leap he made on Saturday, even for him, but also the leadership side of it. Let's go inside the locker room. Not Mark's, that's at 125, but more next.